The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Murder. Ba-ba-da-ba. Welcome to Death Do Us Part podcast, hosted by myself, Mark, and Jamie.
Hello.
Hey.
What up, y'all?
What the dealio?
So Mark's finally out of the fucking clink and hospital and wherever the fuck he's at all the time.
Dude, in 2 weeks, I've had two stays in the hospital.
Yeah.
We've had some heart issues, some complications with my heart.
You know, you still never, like, I still want to see that paperwork because I still want to see what they diagnosed you with because you don't know. And I'm sick of shit.
You know what?
By the way,
I thought I had it in the car, but I took it out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got to bring it to my cardiologist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got all my records. I got to get my records from this last day for Wednesday. But, yeah, had some heart issues, rapid heartbeat, high blood pressure. They got it under control. It
wasn't my fault.
No. And then the other day, this past week, I passed out twice and fell, sliced up the side of my ribs a little bit, falling on some
picture frames.
Yeah. So
you called me on my way to work. And you're like, I passed out. I'm not
911. Right.
Currently, I'm on my way to be 911, but not yours.
And you know who came out of anyone? Huh. My brother. Yeah, Mike came.
I knew he went to the hospital.
Yeah, I texted him and Jackie, and he woke up and he came.
Wow.
And called the ambulance and everything.
Mike called the ambulance?
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you to hang up and call.
Yeah, so...
So you hung up and called Mike?
Yeah, I did.
Right. Mike's not 911.
But I stayed again, and they took me off some diabetic medicine.
Which I hate, so that's good.
Yeah, and then one of my... high blood pressure medication.
And I think that's why you passed out. I think you, because one of the meds they gave you for your heart also works for blood pressure.
Yeah.
And I think it was just too much.
I think it was too much too.
So
and
it's
that's
just easier
what,
to keep you on the metoprolol because that does heart and blood pressure.
Yeah. And they upped that. So I'm taking 100 milligrams in the morning and 100 at night. And that seems to control. Yeah. And with the other medication, I think it was too much because I felt like I was tanking.
I knew, yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah, I felt like you. Like, when you told me what they put you on, I'm like, they might want to look at your other shit.
Yeah, I didn't feel like my blood sugar was low. I felt like my heart rate was tanking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, so is your blood pressure, though.
Yeah, so, you know, they really didn't say so in the hospital, but they adjusted the meds. Yeah. They got everything under control. I got to see my primary this week. I got to see the cardiologist at Rush downtown. So I'm out of the hospital. I feel good. I'm back with you.
We're both hot messes.
Yeah. And you've been, oh my God. Can you stop that?
I have tonsillitis.
Yeah. You've been sick.
Double ear infections.
Dude, every time we record, we're fucked up somehow.
And the cold fucks with my sugar.
People got to be like, these people.
What's wrong with you two?
Yeah. Yes, you guys are fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. And so, like, the weather fucks with my blood sugar.
Yeah.
Like, bad. So, I'll bolus and it won't touch it.
Yeah.
And then I turn around and I'm like, fuck, I'm at 42.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
And Jax will call me and he'll be like, dude, because apparently you hooked it up where...
He wanted me to put it on his.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. I feel so bad because now he's like 2 a.m. My, your sugar's like, go the fuck to bed,
right.
Dude. Go to bed.
The poor kid calls me. He's like, Dad, Mom's sugar is not good. It's going back and forth. I don't know what to do.
Well, and it sucks, too, because he can change the parameters on when it goes off for him.
Yeah.
And I change them back all the time, so it doesn't go off right away, and he changes them back. The little fucker knows how to work it better than I do.
Right, right. Yeah. So, no, yeah, we're so. Both hot messes, but we're back recording.
I'm pretty sure I'm in the midst of breaking a fever as we speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been like 5 days.
Yeah, it has been. Because when it's been about 5 days since I went into the hospital, and I went in, what, Tuesday?
Monday, I thought.
I thought it was Tuesday morning.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was like Tuesday morning at 5 a.m.
I'm all off because my shift switched, so now I'm a day earlier. Than I was, but I thought I had strep, so I went to urgent right away because last time I got pleurisy from it.
Yeah,
and she's like, no, you have tonsillitis.
Oh, you know who's in the hospital with pneumonia? Forgot to tell you.
Oh.
You'll never believe who actually took their child to the hospital. Kim and Raul took Fifi. She's got pneumonia.
No shit.
Yeah,
oh,
she's at Rush as we speak.
Oh.
Yeah, so I got to call her later to check up on them.
We've had a couple deaths.
Yeah.
Which is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Guy I used to work with died of a massive heart attack at 43.
Oh, my God. That's scary.
Uh-huh. And the guy who I was talking to, I asked, you know, one of my buddies.
Yeah.
The next day his dad died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. And then a guy that we both used to work with, he's in the hospital vented on pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Or vented with pneumonia, not on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he's a young guy, too.
Yeah. He's my age. Yeah. If not younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, what a bad time. I don't know what's going on. But we have a good case for you guys today.
We do.
Just so you know, our next episode, though, is going to be a Patreon.
Yeah.
We're overdue for a Patreon. So the next case, if you want to hear us, sign up to be a Patreon.
Well, if you can stay out of the hospital long enough.
Yeah.
We'll record this week.
Hopefully, if I don't go back into the hospital, I'll be recording with you.
Yeah. Thank God.
So, but you want to... oh, by the way, why did Ketchup get embarrassed? Saw salad dressing.
Do you think people actually miss that?
Yes.
Do you think they do?
Yes.
Are you sure? I don't know if they do.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
By the way, were you on the phone with Jax this morning?
Yeah.
When the two fucking knuckleheads were running around?
Yeah.
What were they screaming about?
I don't know.
Leah came down and...
Oh, because Jax was shaving his sideburns.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, you're going to have to shave your ball hair.
Oh, my God.
And then Leah's like, I don't want to think of... She could hear... He had it on speaker. She's like, he's still my little baby brother. I don't want to hear that.
Okay, so that's why you started talking about balls.
Yeah.
Okay, because I could hear some of it, and I'm like, who the fuck are they? Those two together are... They're insane.
Yeah, they are. They're hilarious.
They did TikToks for half an hour the other day. Leah's like, Mom, come on, jump in here. No.
Right.
No, we did all that's our a hard up no. shit when there was no camera phones.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Right,
you
right.
You two be dumb together.
But anyways, you want to tell the folks what case we got today?
We are doing the murder of Lori Show.
Okay.
This is in the early 90s.
Early 90s?
Early 90s.
Where did this take place at?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's fucked up. It's kind of got like Shonda Shearer vibes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Over a dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even better, juicy.
Who looked like Zach Morris.
Well, which, by the way, I can't blame them then.
I was doing Leah's laundry the other day and I pulled a shirt out of the dryer and her two friends were over, Christina and Chloe. Christina, by the way, Jax walks out and said something. Christina was like, what the fuck happened to your voice? And I was like, puberty, Christina.
Right.
Puberty. Leah has a Bayside Tigers t-shirt.
Does she really?
I was like, guys, do you know what this is? And they're like, yeah, it's a t-shirt. And I said, no, the Tigers.
Bayside,
do you see that?
Dude.
And they're like, yeah. I'm like, it's Saved by the Bell. And they're like, what? Folded that bitch up and put it in my pile. I was right. Like, this is mine now. She can take my shit, I'm gonna take her shit.
Exactly.
She went out of town, she went skiing.
Yeah.
I had no clothes when I got home from work. Because she packed all of my clothes.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, cool, it's winter and I don't have a long sleeve shirt because they're with her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, yeah. My God, that's funny.
She shouldn't be snowboarding, by the way. When she went and practiced.
Yeah. Is she terrible?
I don't know if she's terrible. She's mine. But
yeah.
She has no meat.
No, she doesn't.
She's like a buck 20.
Yeah.
Soaking fucking wet.
Yeah.
And most of that is like her hair.
Yeah.
She's like, Mom, look at these bruises. And I was like, because I knew she fell. I knew she got bruised because she called and said, when should I stop? Now.
Now.
Now. She showed me her bruises and I'm like, oh, Leah, like, what the fuck?
Did you get beat?
She had one on her leg. It wasn't even just a bruise anymore. It is now a hematoma, which means there is clotted blood under the skin.
Oh,
I said,
my God.
If that doesn't go away, you have to go get that drained. I hope you know that. Like, they're going to have to cut it, and it's going to come out. And she was like, what? I'm talking, like, this big down her whole leg.
Oh, my God.
Don't do that. Stop doing physical activity.
Just stop.
Just stop doing it.
Just stop.
Don't.
Yeah.
Physical activity is not for you.
Put an end to it.
Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe it. I was like, God damn it, Leah.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Fucking kids. And it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. Happy Super Bowl Sunday, everyone. Who you got? I'm going with the Seahawks.
I don't know who's in it.
Yeah. The New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks.
I've been working a lot.
Yeah, you have. But I don't like either
team.
I think
Seahawks are favored, right?
It's kind of like they're both evened out. Seattle, I think, has the better players, but the Patriots have better coaching. So I think it kind of evens itself out, my opinion. But I don't like either team, to be honest with you, but I don't like New England. I'm sorry, guys, on the East Coast. I'm not a New England fan. So I got to go with Seattle.
Yeah, I think their favorite. I knew Seattle was in. I didn't know who they were playing.
Yeah. Yeah. But really, overall, I'm just looking forward to baseball season.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Oh, man, you are coughing. Take a sip.
I know. We signed Jax up for baseball.
Yeah, we signed Jax up for baseball. So he's all excited. I'm all excited. He's going to be on a different team this year. Well, actually, a different town.
Yeah.
But the coach
same
from...
Coach.
Same coach. He contacted me.
And I was loved like, his coaches.
I did, too.
I really did.
He's like, we would love to have Jax back on the same team, but we're not going with Lockport. We're going to be Lamont this year.
So is it
going
to be the same kids?
He said Jax, I guess, has a group text going, and it's half half the same
so
players.
So it's half the team.
Yeah, it's half the team.
Good. So
I'm excited about that. It's going to be a little further drive for practice, but
it's right in between me and work.
Yeah. So it's not a huge deal.
We'll do
deal.
The same thing. You bring them, I bring them home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I'm excited. That should start in practice, I think, beginning of April.
Friday, like what's today, Sunday?
Yeah.
2 days ago. So 2 days ago, Friday, was the last Friday for 7 months with no baseball.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. How awesome is that?
Pay attention.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We better get started on this.
All right. So I'm trying to debate if I have to sneeze.
Yeah. You look like it.
I think I do. I'm waiting for my Adderall to kick in, too.
You could sneeze into the jizz guard.
God, I know, right? That's why it's there.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't taken my Adderall in 2 days because I couldn't swallow.
Huh. Yeah. That's what she said.
All right. So, Lori Michelle Show was born. I can't read this.
Do you need a light on?
No.
You set the mood and it's pretty dark in here.
No. Well, you have sunglasses on, dipshit.
Oh my God. I completely fucking forgot. I'm so used to it.
Stare at me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have crazy eyes at you.
Yeah. Was born January 27, 1975, to parents John and Hazel Show in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She had a pretty traumatic entrance into the world, kind of like Jackson, actually. Hazel had the flu during labor, so she had a pretty high fever and was struggling during labor to begin with. But then Lori came out with the umbilical cord knotted in two places and wrapped around her neck 3 times.
Yeah, sounds about Jackson.
Yeah, and the doctors and nurses, man, you don't even know what the fuck is happening.
No, I didn't.
No.
I just
knew.
You got
mad at me. You thought that I told them not to let you cut the cord.
And I was like, dude, we had it planned. Yeah. What the fuck?
And I knew he came out and he went down. And I knew when he went down, they were pulling the cord. So,
yeah.
So her immediate survival was pretty questionable, but Hazel and Lori both ended up recovering pretty quickly. John and Hazel were in their early 20s when they met and got together, and it sounds like they got married because Hazel got pregnant.
Oh.
So they tried to stay together for Lori, but divorced 8 years later. They did remain friends, though, and they did co-parent very well and managed. They were both very... very active in Lori's life.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Dad was around all the time.
That's a way to do it.
So Lori was described as a happy child. She's very kind to everybody. Loved animals. Like all little kids, I should.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a veteran marine biologist. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I did. I wanted to be a marine biologist, which is ridiculous.
I wanted to be a rock star or wrestler.
Let me hide my surprise.
Right.
I was talking about you to the guys at work the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Because I walked in with a CM Punk shirt on.
Yeah.
And one of the guys is like, CM Punk, huh? And then started singing the song. And I was like, are you making fun of me? Because you clearly know who it is.
Right.
So go make fun of you. You fucking better not be.
Phil, I'm not a fan of Phil.
I found out that one of the guys I work with apparently is his cousin, but they don't talk.
Phil doesn't talk to any of his family anymore.
He's a big dick bag.
In real life, he's a dick. Yeah. I know him personally, and he cut off his whole family.
Yeah.
But from what I hear now from another wrestler that wrestled with him, he gave a lot of money to his mom.
Oh, really?
And his mom kept asking for more money. That's why he cut her off.
Oh.
But he didn't even go to her funeral.
Money changes people.
Yeah. And he's a millionaire now.
I will say, though, you know our son has a hots for Rhea Ripley.
I do, too.
What? Okay, so what is it? Because
it's the goth.
The guy that I was talking to at work, he's like, yeah, Rhea Ripley. And I was like, really? The goth thing? And he's like, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
you're like totally. The most clean-cut fuck that I know. And you got the hots for the goth chick? And he's
yeah. I think it's like just like a fantasy type thing. I don't know. She's hot as fuck.
Because I said something to Jackson about having the hots for Rhea Ripley, and he's like, who does it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
He likes, what's her name?
AJ Lee.
No.
We figured out, though, the other day. Remember, that was his first crush ever.
Yes, AJ Lee. And then he likes, I forget her first name. I think it's Roxanne, but Perez.
She's got a thing for the Mexicans, too.
Yeah. It's a short little Mexican Hispanic chick, and she's cute. But he likes her, too.
I don't. You had a thing for Mexicans? And then you married the whitest fucking white girl you could find.
I know.
Who's literally sitting here in all green right now.
Right.
Yeah. With a shamrock on my ass.
Right.
And my pajama pants.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So she always had a hard time in school, though. Eventually, her parents did get her tested, and she did have dyslexia.
Oh.
So it was a big thing. And back in the 90s, they still had, like, special ed classes where you had to be separated from everybody. There wasn't like, they didn't make a point to ostracize you, but it did ostracize you.
It did,
know?
Yeah.
So
it totally did.
It made her feel different and a little insecure, but she did decide, you know, as she got older, she pretty much came to terms with the fact that school was always going to be hard for her. So yeah. College really wasn't going to be a good option.
Yeah.
But by the time she was 16, she decided that vocational school was going to be best for her and decided she was going to go to cosmetology school.
Wow. Okay. Which,
thank God for that, because Leah's friend just finished cosmetology school.
Yep, and now she can do your hair.
So, yeah.
I got my hair dead.
She got a job at a salon in Tinley.
Oh, did she really? Yeah.
And she's like, do you want to come for a blowout next week? Fuck yes, I do. So you get your hair washed.
Yeah.
And then they like hot towel your face and give you a drink and then blow dry your hair.
Can I go?
$25.
Can she do it? Do they do it for men? Seriously.
Like you're not blow drying your hair.
Well, I can. She can.
I have a picture. Leah went and got it done last week.
Yeah.
Her head and face are wrapped in towels. She's got fucking eye patches on and she's got a fucking iced coffee in her hand.
I'm totally going.
I know.
Oh my God, I'm fucking there.
I'm like Wednesday, like Tuesday and Wednesday. And she's like, well, it's just because once I wash and dry my hair, I'm good for a week.
Yeah.
I don't have to wash it again for a week. And yeah. I was like, so like once a week, can you do this for me? She's like, yeah, it's $25.
Oh my God, fucking totally done. Worth it.
Done.
Totally worth it.
And for some reason, when she curls my hair, it stays.
Yeah.
When I curl my hair, it does not. So fuck no.
She's the professional.
Once a week, dude, I'm going to go get a blowout.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bougie like that. I don't care. $25?
It. Dude, it's worth it.
She's like, we have coffee and wine.
Oh my God.
Fucking done.
Mimosa?
Give me the coffee and I'll bring a flask.
Done. Yeah, right?
Yeah. So Wednesday at noon, I'm going for a blowout.
Oh, have fun.
I love when she washes my hair too. Because she knows I like it.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's like mine. So she, oh my God. It's amazing. When somebody else scratches your fucking head.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Yeah.
So much better.
Yeah.
So she's going to cosmetology school. So while John was very active and present in her life, Lori and Hazel were very close.
Yeah.
She ended up, I must just skip two pages. Those two ended up staying in the house after the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time Lori was 15, the two decided they kind of wanted to live in a different area, more like up and coming and more entertainment, you know. So they ended up finding a condo that was close to the mall and kind of closer to downtown. Lori ended up getting a retail job at the mall to help her mom with the mortgage. So they were really like a team, you know. They didn't really fight about much, just normal teenage shit. Lori tried to make friends in the new neighborhood. She found what she thought was a good friend group, but they ended up stealing a bunch of jewelry and shit from the condo. So they weren't all that great.
Yeah.
So that was like the one thing that her and Hazel butted heads about, and that was it.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, Lori met a girl named Rachel on the school bus. Now, Rachel had a big friend group and introduced Lori to all of them.
Yeah.
Now, that group had two older kids in it. I guess they weren't really kids, but I don't know. I don't feel like 20-year-olds are adults.
No, I don't either.
So,
to be honest,
I live
with
a 19-year-old. She's not an adult.
No, she's not an adult yet.
She texted me today for the second time this week. She locked her keys in the car.
Oh, my God.
Second time this week.
Right.
This week.
Right.
I've never done that. I shouldn't say that. I'm going to do it now. But I can unlock my car from my phone.
Oh, well, there you go.
Thank God. So it was 20-year-old Lawrence Butch Youngkin. I'm going to call him Butch from now on just because I like saying Butch.
Yeah,
it reminds me of, oh my God, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's like, Butch.
Butch.
I love her. She says,
I want some pancakes.
Mom's never seen Pulp Fiction.
How can you not? It's a cult classic.
Mom, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It's a cult classic.
I made a comment to somebody the other
day. Oh, I'm sorry. I
the other day, and I was told, don't backdraft me. Oh, well.
I got your mom a new mayor of Kingstown.
Oh, you did get her?
Yeah.
Jack's trying to get me into Stranger Things.
He tried to get... I watched one episode. I couldn't do it.
He had it on all day yesterday.
It's for teenagers.
I don't know. I know a lot of adults that watch it.
It's just not for me.
Yeah, no. I can't get into it. And 19-year-old Lisa Michelle Lambert. So Lisa Michelle Lambert was born September 9th, 1972. She was the oldest of either five or six. It's hard to tell. We do know that she had three younger brothers, and mom had one or two stillbirths.
Ooh.
Which I can't even imagine. One is traumatizing enough. I can't imagine having two.
Oh my God, that'd be terrible.
So it was a super religious upbringing. Her parents followed a very strict Christian morality. Lisa was described as a good kid with a strong sense of family from an early age. She was a huge help with her younger siblings. And she ended up staying with and caring for an aunt for a week after she had a stroke. So she was like a good kid.
Yeah.
You know? And then she wasn't.
Right.
And she was a shithead.
No, boy.
So she was also a great student with excellent grades, but it all started to fall apart in high school. She at one point started to rebel against her parents' discipline, which everybody does.
Everyone does.
By the time my mom got to me, she really just didn't give a shit.
Right. So, just do what the fuck you want.
She had to deal with Brad first.
Oh, my God.
Sam. And
could you imagine that?
Brad used to get high and try and sneak out of the house. He lived in a one-story ranch in Romeoville. Right. So it's like 12 square feet.
Right.
So he would try and sneak out, but forget to take the screen out. And his fat fucking high ass would roly-poly roll out of the window into the bush.
Oh, my God.
2 feet from my mom's window. Do you think she can't hear you?
Right.
Do you think she can't hear you?
Oh, Brad. Yeah. What the fuck?
More than once.
What the fuck, dude? Yep.
Sam ditched school and got caught because they drove right past my stepdad and she waved at him.
I love it.
I'm like, why did you fucking wave? She's like, I don't know. I just did.
Just instinct.
Instinct. You're like, hey, not realizing it's 10 fucking a.m. and you're supposed to be in school.
Right.
Dumbass. So Lisa would much later allege that around this time she was molested. Now, this came out way later. She ended up writing a book later on. And that was the first time it came out, like, way after all this happened and she wrote the book. Her family would release a public statement saying that she was full of shit, basically, and nothing of the sort happened. But Lisa wouldn't say who did it either. She never came out and said it, but insinuated that it was a family member. Mm-hmm. But never said who, which family member, anything like that.
Yeah.
So her mom would also publicly state that she believed that Lisa's behavior change stemmed from Lisa being bullied, which I call bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. So it all seemed to coincide with one event, though. During the summer of 1989, when Lisa was 16, she frequented the public pool. One day she saw 17-year-old lifeguard Lawrence Butch Yunkin. Lisa, I saw a picture of these two. Holy shit, like, yes, it is 1990.
Totally.
Mean, oh my God, it is 1990. And it's like Zach Morris and Heather Locklear. Like,
oh, that's what
that's what they looked like.
Yes.
Like, he had a mullet, like a bleach blonde, glorious
fuck,
mullet.
Yeah,
glorious
dude.
Mullet. There is a guy at work.
Yeah.
He's maybe 13. And by that, I mean, I think he's 19.
Yeah.
And he's not little. He's skinny. Leah likes him skinny. She thinks he's really cute.
Yeah.
The kid's got a porn stash that is fucking glorious.
Yeah.
And a curly mullet.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're the shit.
Yeah,
I almost just
awesome.
Said his name out loud. I don't think he listens, but you're the shit. He's the same one. I wanted black gloves.
Yeah.
We were on a call.
Yeah.
And he's like, go check the front seat. He gave me an entire box of black gloves. Another guy texted me later and was like, you know, he left those because he wants you to hook him up with your daughter. And I'm like, uh-huh. And he's like, did you just pimp your daughter out for black gloves? I'm like, uh-huh. I did. Sure did. Yep. Yeah, his mullet is glorious.
Phenomenal.
Glorious. Every time I see him, he takes his hat off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? Glorious. So Lisa was immediately head over heels in love. The couple would later have different recollections of their relationship, especially the beginning of their relationship. According to Lisa, Butch was controlling just from the jump. He immediately told Lisa that he hated her name and would be calling her Michelle from now on.
Oh, nice.
I don't like either name.
No.
Shouldn't say that out loud, but Butch ended up saying that it wasn't about control at all. He just liked her middle name.
Yeah.
So from now on, we're going to call her Michelle.
That's Michelle.
He would also say that not only was the love equal, but so was the control. That she was just as controlling as him.
Yeah.
Lisa, now Michelle, would also say that Butch raped her on their fourth date.
Ooh.
Now put a pin in that. That
okay.
comes back. They were in his van. Van, go figure.
Down by the river.
Stabbing wagon. Yeah. So they were in his van parked outside her parents' house fooling around. She said stop, but he didn't.
Mm.
She was angry, hurt, but mostly was confused. because of her religious upbringing, she was under the belief that if you had sex with someone, you had to marry them.
Yeah.
So, Butch.
Sounds like my mom.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does. Butch still to this day denies that he ever raped Michelle. Now, according to Michelle, the next day, Butch brought her roses and promised to marry her, saying, quote, I'm going to take care of you. We're going to get married. We're going to stay together. She, at that point, felt it was better to stay with the man who raped her but might marry her than to admit any kind of premarital sex, which is fucked up.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That really is.
Like, you got to be realistic when you teach your kids.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Didn't your dad tell you if you kissed a girl, you'd get her pregnant?
Right.
Like, you can't do that.
Right.
Because then, like, back then, I mean, back when your mom was younger and my mom
right.
was you got married to have sex.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because they thought they were going to hell and what.
Right.
You got to be realistic about that shit. You don't want to think about it, but you got to be realistic about it.
You
got to
be realistic. You know? Yeah, you're right.
So part of staying with Butch would mean becoming a properly submissive woman. Fuck and you.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Michelle started bleaching her hair, wearing tons of makeup and skimpy provocative clothing because he wanted her to look like Barbie.
Ooh, Barbie.
She didn't look like Barbie.
No.
No.
Not at all.
No. Mm. No.
Whoops.
No. No. He wouldn't allow her to learn how to drive and told her she could not return to high school.
Oh, geez.
Oh, great no. Guy. Tell a 16-year-old she can't go back to school.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, please, no. No.
So Michelle said the entire relationship was violent and unpredictable. They fought all the time, and he would beat her regularly. Now, this is her account. She also said that their sex life terrified her. He, at one point, according to her, brutally sodomized her.
Oh, Jesus.
And her mom said that she was witness to it, not obviously to the act itself happening, but went to her house after Michelle called, and there were bloody sheets.
Oh, God.
Now, she also said that he would cut his cheek and lean over her and drip blood on her while having sex with her.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little much.
I don't understand what type of fetish thing that falls into. But now, he never commented on this. He never, like, when her book came out and she was alleging this
stuff. So he didn't deny it.
He didn't even acknowledge it. Which is almost like, so one thing, like, okay, you're denying it. Yeah, you didn't do it. When you kind of acknowledge it, but beat around the bush, meh, but like he didn't even, it was almost like, this is too ridiculous of a thing to even give a response to. So nobody really knows. That's her account. But, so both Butch's and Michelle's parents were not happy with the relationship, but at some point, Michelle ended up living with Butch's family.
Hmm.
It's unknown if she left voluntarily or was kicked out of her parents' house. There's obviously two different stories. Her mom said they were fighting and she left on her own. Michelle ended up telling Butch's parents that she'd been kicked out and had nowhere to go. However, the couple's fighting got so bad. They're teenagers at this point. Let me remind you, they are 16 and 17 or 17 and 18 at this point.
Children.
Their fighting got so bad that Butch's landlord kicked the entire family out of the apartment.
Whoa.
Yeah. They're like, can't stay here. Gotta go.
Wow.
So both were now over the age of 18 when this happened. So Butch's family told the couple they needed to find their own place.
Yeah.
They're like, we're sorry, but we're not willing to run the risk of being kicked out of somewhere else.
Yeah. You know?
So Butch and Michelle ended up getting a place of their own. They got a little trailer.
Oh.
It's fitting. They ended up getting engaged too.
Oh, nice.
Why not? Yeah. Much to the dismay of both families, obviously. Now, Michelle alleged at some point after this that Butch beat the shit out of at least one or two of her brothers.
Oh, wow.
Said that he did it, never elaborated on it.
Okay.
And they were little, like 9 and 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he allegedly beat the shit out of one of them.
Oh, what the fuck, man?
10-year-old boys are shitheads.
Yeah, you don't beat the fuck out of them.
We were talking at work yesterday. I said something about Leah asked if she could take my truck to work one day. And I'm like, no.
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 That's a big no.
I gave you life. I will not give you my keys.
Right.
And my lieutenant was like, well, what kind of parent are you? And this is, I love this guy. He's like, we were out to dinner the other day and my son tried to grab my salad and I stabbed him in the hand. And I'm like, apparently I'm the same kind of parent as you. He's like, well, fucker, you wanted a salad? You should have ordered one. I was right. Like, this is what I'm talking about.
Mine, boy.
I gave you life. I don't have to give you anything else.
Right.
That's it. Right. Nothing.
I got a roof over your head, food in your belly.
And clean clothes on your ass.
Right.
You don't get my truck. You don't get my fucking salad.
Right.
The girl we were talking to doesn't have kids. And I'm like, this is good parenting advice.
Right.
Write this shit down.
Take notes.
Because this guy's got twin boys.
Oh, ooh, man.
Teenage twin boys.
Oh, fuck.
I would have stabbed him in the fucking hand, too.
Good luck.
Yeah. Ugh. So, some point after this now, Butch decided that his mom was right and the relationship was beyond toxic and he could not be with Michelle anymore. So Butch called his mom and asked if he could come home alone. Hmm. His mom was like, absolutely, come home, get away from her, bye, bitch.
Yeah.
Go.
Later.
Michelle was not so enthusiastic. She called Butch all day and all night, threatening to kill herself if Butch didn't come back to her.
Oh, boy.
This is where my dad would say, quit telling me about the labor pains, just show me the baby.
Right, right.
So, it finally got to the point that Butch's mom told Michelle she was going to have her arrested for harassment if she didn't stop.
Yeah.
Butch finally seemed happy, and he also seemed to be moving on. She was even excited to learn that Butch was dating again. Now, his mom liked this girl, thought she was very sweet. However, she was a bit young. She was 16. To his 20.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about that.
I do too, because I was 19. And my first girlfriend was 16.
Yeah, but then you fucked her mom.
I did. I did.
I would
when
put that
she
on
broke
a,
up with
I
me.
I would put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and I was 15 dating a 20-year-old. It was right. My best friend's brother. So, like...
Right.
And, like, Leah, I mean, no, all hers have always been this around the same
around age. The same age, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to it. You
yeah.
Know? You get a 24-year-old guy who's got the mentality of a fucking 13-year-old. You're not mixing maturity too far. You
right,
know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's dependent, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Butch was now dating Lori Show. So, while Butch's mom was excited for him, Hazel didn't realize they were actually dating. Lori's mom, you know. She knew that they met through Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And that Lori had met the, you know, Lori had met the whole group and everything like that. So the group usually all hung out like as a group. So it was easy to say that they were hanging out as opposed to just saying they were dating.
Yeah.
By the time it turned romantic between Butch and Lori, Michelle was pretty much out of the group. Which was more than fine with Lori because Michelle was pretty much an asshole to Lori.
Of
so
course.
Even before
right.
like they started dating. So, Hazel said the first time she heard about Michelle was when Lori came home upset about some shit that Michelle had said. Lori was telling the group her plans to go to cosmetology school and that she wanted to try to start modeling. Now, Lori was a cute girl. Like, she's a very cute girl. Michelle was an absolute asshole about it and basically said that Lori was unattractive and couldn't do her own hair. How was she supposed to do somebody else's? Bitch, I've seen your pictures.
Yeah.
You ain't trying that hard either.
Right.
Aquanet did all your work. So Hazel was like, fuck her. Don't let one person, you know, being an asshole, fuck up your plans, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So Michelle leaves the group. She was just not a fan of Lori the entire time.
Yeah.
Now, after leaving the group, Michelle started hanging out with a new friend, 17-year-old senior Tabitha Buck. Tabitha Faith Buck was born on May 26th, 1974 in Alaska.
Ugh. Whoa.
Half my dad's in Alaska.
Yeah.
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 Leah's a dipshit, too. So Cade, her boyfriend, is fishing.
Mm. Yeah.
And she tells me, I said, it's cold for fishing. She said, well, he's trout fishing. And then she said, he's fly fishing. And at the same time, Cade and I are like, that's not fly fishing.
No.
So,
no.
But
not even close.
She's like, you know, I was looking at pictures. I didn't realize, like, it was such a big fishing family. Leah, Papa Joe's ashes are in the lake he fished in.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we were there, dumping him there.
Right.
Because he fished there. She was like, oh. You were five.
Right.
I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, her parents had a pretty unstable on and off relationship. It was the second marriage for both that Tabitha was the result of.
Mm-hmm.
But her mom left her second husband for the first husband and then left him to go back to the second husband.
Oh, man. What are you doing?
They're exes for a reason.
Yeah.
They're exes for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. Just saying. So at around 4, her mom moved her to Oregon with just her, not her siblings. And then at some point after that, they ended up in Pennsylvania. So Tabitha never really had stability or money. They were always moving. And when she met Michelle, she was living alone with her mom, very much like Lori. Tabitha's mom didn't like Michelle and didn't approve of the friendship. She couldn't understand why a 19-year-old girl was hanging out with a 17-year-old senior still in high school.
Yeah.
Because she never went to high school. Right. She didn't finish high school. That's what she wanted. Yeah,
who
you know?
Cares?
So Michelle told Tabitha her mom was a drug-addicted sex worker.
Whoa.
Which her mom was a very religious, like, pillar of the community.
Yeah.
It was exact opposite. Tabitha said she wouldn't find out for years that that was a lie.
Wow.
So it turns out Michelle was frantically trying to get Butch back because she was pregnant.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Michelle had briefly dated somebody else, but she swore the baby was Butch's. She just wouldn't tell him right away. So as much as Butch knew that he was better off without Michelle, he was still upset. It was a breakup, you know?
Right, right.
So Lori would take notice and started kind of checking in on him just to see how he was doing, everything like that. They started talking more and more, and eventually they started going on dates. Now, these were quote-unquote dates. They were harmless dates.
Yeah.
They went to the mall. They went swimming with her family. Like, they're not, like, dating.
Which
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, right.
There was one night, though, she was supposed to go to the fair with her dad, John, and Butch. Now, John would, at the very last minute, pull out saying he couldn't go, but Butch and Lori still went.
Pull out.
Turn the page. I knew you were going to say that. He's still, we're fucking 12.
I know. God.
Oh, Jack wrote fart on that little thing I got.
Yeah.
And I fucking giggled.
Right.
What's wrong with us?
Dude, we're idiots.
I'm trying, like, oh my God, it's so bad.
Yeah.
I was, they were doing something the other day at the firehouse. I'm like, what are you doing? Lubing the tube. You know what? I'm going to walk away.
Right.
I got fucking nothing. Nothing productive can come out of this conversation. Oh, I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
Nope. Got nothing.
Lubing the tube.
Yep. So Hazel said that Lori came home that night in a real shitty mood. She was super pissed at John, but didn't want to talk about it. So a little while after that, a couple days, and this is like a matter of days, by the way.
Yeah.
Lori and Butch were hanging out at the condo.
Mm-hmm.
The phone rang. Hazel answered it and immediately hears screaming in her ear. It's Michelle screaming that she's pregnant and Lori is, quote, fucking my boyfriend.
Ooh.
Hazel immediately screams back, excuse me, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Michelle says that Butch is her boyfriend and baby daddy, and Hazel says, say less, my dude, he's all yours.
Yeah.
She hangs up the phone and then goes to find Butch, who is in her house at this point. She's like, hey, fuckface, your girlfriend just called.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's pregnant. Mm. Uh-huh. She wants you home. I told her you're done here, and on your way home, go deal with her and your bullshit, and don't come back here.
Yeah.
So Butch was basically like, all right, you're right. Fine. And left. Like, didn't argue, nothing. Just, yeah, you're right. And that was allegedly when he found out that Michelle was pregnant. He didn't know before that.
Oh, damn.
Lori was pretty fine with it ending, too. She was pretty much done with Butch and didn't want to deal with Michelle. Not to mention that it had been a grand total of about 10 days. 10 fucking days.
10 days. That's awesome.
This whole thing happened because of 10 days.
Oh my God. What 10 the
days
fuck, dude.
As a teenager. Yeah.
What the fuck?
So Hazel and Lori were like, bye bitches. Happy to be done with the whole situation. Until they weren't. Michelle decided that she wasn't done with Lori and it wasn't going to stop. In early July, Michelle started an absolute shit show of harassment and terror against Lori. So apparently Michelle felt that Butch had no part in anything that happened and fully blamed Lori, which nothing happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle would call the condo all day, all night, same thing like she was doing with Butch, to the point they started leaving the phone off the hook. Now, at this point, she's living by herself in the trailer that her and Butch previously shared, so there's nobody there to stop her, really.
Yeah.
At some point, though, Butch did move back in with Michelle and didn't stop her, but allegedly encouraged her to do it. So, Michelle at this point had lost all of her fucking mind. If Lori left the house, Michelle was stalking her. If Lori was at the mall working, Michelle was there. Michelle called Lori's dad, John, at his house and told him that Lori was a, quote, slut and a whore who fucked my boyfriend.
Wow.
She's saying this to parents.
Dude.
And gave no fucks.
That's some balls.
So not only is Lori now terrified, she is fucking mortified.
Yeah.
Because this is possibly the worst way for your parents to find out that you had sex for the first time.
Right.
She kept her mouth shut, though. She didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Both Hazel and John were like, listen, it's fine. You're a teenager. Like, whatever, whatever. Finally, though, Lori broke down and told her parents what actually happened the night that her and Butch went to the fair.
Yeah.
He raped her. Oh, in his van.
On down by the river.
Yep. On their fourth date. No. Just like with Michelle.
Yeah.
They were fooling around. She said stop, and he didn't.
Damn, dude. Mm-hmm. No one to stop.
Yeah. Now, allegedly, like, one source said that Lori did report the rape after she told her parents, but most other sources says that she didn't report it right away.
Okay.
Most of the sources say this. John and Hazel lost all of their shit, obviously, and they immediately wanted to go to the police.
Mm-hmm.
But Lori absolutely panicked at the thought, and she thought that going to the police was going to make everything worse. She just wanted to be done with them and the whole situation.
Yeah.
Lori's parents struggled hard with it, but they wanted it known that what Butch did, but they also didn't want to traumatize Lori any further.
Right.
So they decided collectively, as a family, they were not going to go to the police. That's what most of the sources said.
Okay.
Now, Michelle's bullshit just escalated. Her behavior was described as, quote, obsessively jealous. John and Hazel were now escorting Lori everywhere she went. Michelle didn't give a shit that Lori's parents were with her. She would just verbally assault John and Hazel then. She would scream that their daughter was a whore who fucked her boyfriend. But John and Hazel never backed down, yelling back at her like, listen, little girl, calm the fuck down. You're talking to a kid. This is a kid. She's a child.
Right.
Michelle usually wasn't alone either. Tabitha was usually with her.
Yeah.
On one particular day, Hazel and a friend of hers took Lori to a farmer's market. And of course, Michelle was there. And of course, Michelle was not alone. But this time, it was Butch with her. Michelle came at Lori, and Hazel noticed that Butch seemed almost amused by what was happening.
Yeah.
Made no effort to stop it, obviously. Now, Hazel wasn't having any of it and got in between Lori and Michelle. And she's like, do you want to know what actually fucking happened? Your boyfriend raped her. That's what happened.
Damn.
And if you keep your shit up, I'm going to have him arrested for rape and I'm going to have you arrested for harassment. Wow. Knock it the fuck off.
Whoa.
So it appeared to knock Michelle down a bit. She did stop for a little bit.
Yeah.
Long enough that John, Hazel, and Lori were comfortable enough to the point that Lori was now going places by herself again. So it did stop for a little while. It didn't last long, though. Tabitha was usually with Michelle when she was stalking and harassing Lori, and Tabitha soon decided that just being there for moral support wasn't enough, and she started physically assaulting Lori.
Ooh.
It happened once at school, once at the mall, where she allegedly punched Lori repeatedly, and then once, and I found this kind of funny, at a fireman's ball. Yeah. She jumped out of a moving car and went at Lori like she was going to attack her.
What the fuck?
Now, in November of 1991, Michelle ended up attacking Lori outside of the mall. Lori was walking through the parking lot after work, and Michelle jumped out of the car because they jump out of moving cars. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Fuck.
And started hitting Lori. According to witnesses, Michelle was screaming, quote, you ruined my life. You ruined my baby's life.
Damn.
Another witness stated that she heard Michelle tell Lori if she finds out Lori went to the police, she had, quote, friends that would take care of Lori and Michelle would kill her.
Mm.
Yeah. Now we're escalating.
Yeah.
This bitch is pregnant, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, let me remind you of that.
Right.
Now, Michelle was smaller than Lori. Neither one of them were big, obviously. But Lori just stood there and took the hits.
Damn.
Because Michelle is obviously 6 months pregnant at this point. So
right.
Lori was refusing to hit her back.
Oh, my God.
Bitch, I will cunt punt you.
Right.
Hit me. See what happens.
Did your heat just go on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What did
you think that was?
A truck going by. And I'm like, that's the longest truck ever.
That's because it's not a truck, dipshit.
Yeah.
I had on Leah's Beats last night.
Yeah.
Because it's noise canceling, you know?
Yeah.
And I could hear, like, it would pick up the trucks outside. I was like, this is...
Oh, really?
It's supposed to be fucking noise canceling, Kanye. What's up with this bullshit?
Right. You fucking asshole.
And they're Kim Kardashian Beats. Did you know they made those?
No.
Which is ridiculous. So Kim Kardashian has that line, Skims.
Yeah.
I guess it's great, like, undergarments.
Yeah.
But it's all skin toned.
Oh, that's weird.
Can I have pink, please?
Yeah.
Please.
That's weird.
I don't need nude.
Yeah.
No.
That's weird.
So the headphones are like a weird, like, skin
color. Skin color? Oh.
Fucking weird.
Yeah, that's... I don't like
weird.
That.
I don't know. I don't like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
I think your son likes Kanye too much, but that's
right,
me.
Right.
So Lori ended up... Or Michelle ended up hitting Lori's head against a parked truck, too. See, now, at that point... I'm going to kick you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
All bets
where.
Off.
Yep. Did you ever see the Simpsons episode where Lisa and Bart were fighting?
No, I don't watch
and
that.
How do you not watch this? What's wrong with you? But Lisa's like, I'm going to walk towards you like this, swinging her arms, you know?
Yeah.
And if you happen to walk into it, it's not my fault. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Bitch, you walk in the middle of it, it's not my fault.
Right.
Whatever. So witnesses would later say that this was around the time that Michelle started telling people that she wanted to and planned to, quote, scare Lori, then hurt her and slit her throat.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So now this fight was finally broke up by a security guard from Burlington Coat Factory. Which makes me giggle, and it shouldn't make me giggle. I don't know why. Why does Burlington Coat Factory have a security guard?
I know,
in
right?
In the 90s.
Right.
And did they, because like now they're like a Ross, I guess.
Oh.
Did they just sell coats before? I've never been in one.
I never have either.
I don't know why. I don't,
yeah,
whatever.
I never have either.
So it gets broke up and Michelle and her getaway driver speed out of the lot. This was the final straw for John and Hazel, though. They were done and they made Lori go to the police. They wanted to file charges for harassment and assault, obviously, because she fucking hit her, you know. They did go to the police that day, and it's unknown still at this point if the rape was reported then, too.
Right.
Unknown. So we don't know. Now, it appears that there was a report that was actually filed, but it's unknown exactly what came of it, other than an investigation that started on December 16th.
Yeah.
But this was in November. It's like beginning of November.
Yeah.
We do know that Michelle was not arrested. So, obviously, there were no charges filed from this particular assault.
Yeah.
It is believed, though, that at the very least, police contacted Michelle and told her to stay the fuck away from Lori. Like, now they're filing police reports against you, you know? The shows didn't hear from Michelle after they filed the report. Now, in reality, though, Michelle was more pissed than ever that Lori went to the police. And she also starts egging Tabitha on. She tells Tabitha that Lori was spreading rumors to people that Tabitha was gay.
Ooh.
And in the early 90s, you did not know.
Yeah.
That was not a thing. You did not do that.
Yeah.
You know? So Tabitha somehow managed to get all of Lori's information, including Lori's emergency contact sheet from the school office. How? Nobody knows.
Right.
She had her class schedule, her bus schedule, her guidance
wow.
counselor. Hazel's phone number, Lori's new phone number.
Jeez.
They were even able to figure out how long it would take Hazel to get from the condo to the high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like they figured everything out.
Yeah.
So on December 18th, 1991, Michelle was told by friends that police were looking for her and the shows were attempting to file charges against Michelle for all of her bullshit and against Butch for rape.
Yeah.
So it is believed that that's when the rape was reported. But again... We don't know.
We don't know.
So, on December 19th, Butch took Michelle to Kmart. I love Kmart.
I miss Kmart.
Do you remember? I miss Venture.
Venture was the shit.
I know. She bought a rope, hat, and gloves at Kmart. Because
That,
I feel like, and I know I've said this before, cashiers should be allowed to question people.
Yes, like, ma'am.
You have bleach, kitchen gloves, garbage bags, and cupcakes.
Are you about to do a murder?
The first three I'm questioning.
Right.
The cupcakes? Okay, I get it. Whatever.
Right.
I would assume, first thing I would assume is she was on her period. If you're getting cupcakes and fucking garbage bags, right. You're going to kill somebody while eating a cupcake, and you're going to have a grand old time doing it.
Right.
But I feel like cashiers should be able to question people.
I do, too.
Why do you need 12 pounds of cement?
Right.
What are you doing?
Shovel.
You having a party later?
Yeah.
Can I come?
A
what
machete
are you doing?
And
it should be like a
shovel.
Red button you can hit. Like, what right. The fuck? So, okay. I went to Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time I went to Meijer?
Yeah.
When I was like,
oh,
this, dude, Farm and Fleet, I could live there. And then, do you want to know what my buddy tells me?
What?
He's like, wait till the spring and the chicks are there. I'm like, the what? He's like, they have like hundreds of baby chicks that you can buy. I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Can I just stand in the middle?
I want a chick.
I just want to stand in the middle.
I want to be loved.
I fucking love Farm and Fleet.
Oh, Farm
and Fleet. I feel yeah. like... The people at Farm and Fleet should be able to be like, all right, cowboy boots, cool, t-shirt, cool, shovel, cement, garbage can, fleet. Huh.
Because you know what? So I'll be in all honesty. I used to do steroids when I was younger.
No.
Yeah. Sorry. That's where I bought my needles.
At Farm and Fleet?
Farm and Fleet.
Really?
Where the fuck
was there a Farm and Fleet by you when you were growing up?
I would drive to Bourbon A. I would drive like...
That one's been there forever.
I would dress like in like flannel so I looked like...
Shut the fuck up. Like you blended?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And dude...
Yeah, you blend.
You blend.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, I would inject myself with horse needles.
Do you know how much you probably stuck the fuck out walking through there?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And that's all I would buy was needles and syringes. And they were for cattle and horses.
I'm not surprised at that.
Yeah.
Did I tell you my boot story?
No.
So there's a pair of Ariat boots that I want. They're pink, obviously.
Yeah.
They're pink and brown. I've wanted them for years. I've never seen them in the flesh.
Yeah.
I go to Farm and Fleet for the first time. And they're there. I come around the corner and I was like, literally screamed. Like a bitch. Screamed.
Is Farm and Fleet like an Illinois thing?
No. Is it? Oh.
It might.
Like
Venture. Was that just a Chicago thing?
I think Venture definitely was just
Kmart,
a Chicago thing.
Kmart, obviously not, but I think Venture
was. I think Venture was just a Chicago thing.
If people could text us or, you know, send us a message, I'm curious. If you had a Venture in your area or a Farm and Fleet.
Adam's kind of like a farmer. He would probably know.
Yeah.
He's the one that
I'm curious.
I went to Farm
but
and
these
Fleet.
Stores were amazing.
Oh my God, I could live in Farm and Fleet.
Yeah.
I could fucking live there.
Venture, I could live there. It was a little upgrade from Walmart.
It was like in between Walmart and Target.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But more
it was.
Kmart layout. Does that make sense?
I don't know what you mean by a Kmart layout.
Like all tile, like white tile floors.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah, no, Farm and Fleet. I have, like, this obsession with Carhartt, so I went to Farm and Fleet because they had a sale on Carhartt t-shirts. So
dude,
like,
that's going to go out of style pretty soon.
I wear the t-shirt. Oh, yeah, because I'm in style. I wear t-shirts.
Yeah, I know, but everyone's on that brand.
No. But the t-shirts, the way the female t-shirts fit, oh, I don't know.
Microphone's fucked up.
I moved.
Okay.
No, they don't have anything like I like the way the female t-shirts fit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the amount of Carhartt I have is probably stupid.
Really?
Right now. Oh, yeah. It's dumb.
I'm telling you, it's going to go out of style.
I don't care. So. I'm not. Oh, yeah, because I've been in style ever.
I'm just saying.
No. But, like, I have their gloves, like their work gloves.
Yeah.
And they're warm as fuck.
Oh,
they
I bet.
The finger thingy. So
yeah.
You can,
the hats are badass.
I
do want a Carhartt.
Like a baseball hat?
No.
A skull cap?
Skull cap, yeah.
I have three.
You want to give one up?
I have a navy blue one. I have a, like, hot fucking pink one, and then I think I have a gray one. I'll look for the gray one. I have four fucking baseball hats,
Dude, would you mind? Could I have the gray one?
They're baseball hats, too. I have a gray one, a black one, a camo one, and another. I love their baseball hats, too.
Yeah.
They just fit better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's my Farm and Fleet story.
But okay.
The Ariat boots. Holy fuck. I screamed. Like, yeah. So I did. So now that we're off on this tangent about Kmart.
Right.
Okay. So on December 19th, Hazel received a phone call from who she thought was Mrs. Cooper, which was Lori's guidance counselor. The woman stated that it was imperative that Hazel come meet with her. She was very vague about the issues, but insisted that the meeting happened the following morning. She was even insistent to the point that she called back to change the time from 7:30 to 7 a.m. Lori didn't have a clue what it was about. She was not in trouble at school. She had not even met with the guidance counselor anytime recently. Mm-hmm. So she didn't know. So December 20th, Hazel gets to the school at 7 a.m. and waits for Mrs. Cooper. She's annoyed that she's waiting, especially after this woman called to change the time of the meeting. Now, normally Hazel is patient, but she had a gut feeling that something was wrong, and this was not where she was supposed to be. When Mrs. Cooper hadn't arrived by 7:07, Hazel left the school like a bat out of hell. She peeled out of the parking lot, drove like hell for the 7-mile drive. When Hazel arrived at the condo, she was stopped by one of the neighbors. They said that they had heard loud noises coming from the condo, and was everything okay? Hazel said she didn't know, and she rushed past them to get upstairs to her condo. Now, Lori started dating another high school boy, and he was supposed to be picking her up for school that morning. It was the last day of school before winter break, and they very much should have been on their way to school by now. All the lights in the condo were on, and she could see through the bathroom door that Lori's curling iron was on. And the first thing she thought was Lori would never leave the curling iron on. Like, it's a fire hazard, and that was a big thing to Lori.
Right, right.
Now, around the corner from the bathroom was Lori's bedroom.
Yeah.
It didn't immediately click in Hazel's brain what she was looking at on the floor of Lori's room.
Yeah.
But what was there was Lori.
Oh.
She was laying on the floor, covered in blood, and barely breathing.
No.
Hazel ran to the front door and screamed at the neighbors to call 911, and then ran back to Lori. Hazel saw what looked like a white rope tied around Lori's neck. So she ran to the kitchen, grabbed a paring knife, and started cutting the rope away from her neck. What Hazel didn't realize was that the rope was essentially holding Lori's head to her neck.
Oh my God.
She cut the remainder of the rope, and Lori's head fell backwards.
Jesus Christ.
It was only then that Hazel saw that Lori's throat had been slit completely from one side to the other.
My God.
Hazel pulled Lori into her lap and tried to hold her neck together. Lori's still alive, but barely breathing.
And how the fuck is she alive?
She got there right away.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, right away.
Wow.
It comes out later how quickly after the attack she got there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Hazel asked Lori, who did this to you? You know, like you used to ask me for dying declarations.
Right. Yeah.
With everything she had left, Lori told her mom, quote, Michelle did this. I love you. All at once, Hazel realized what must have happened. The call, the meeting, it was all bullshit. It was all a setup to get her out of the condo.
Mm-hmm.
Hazel was crying. Lori's breathing was slowing. Hazel held Lori in her lap and told her that she was sorry and that she and her dad loved her. She didn't do anything wrong and that God would take care of her. When the paramedics arrived, they pulled Hazel into another room, and she's covered in blood at this point.
Oh, yeah.
After a minute, Hazel realized that the paramedics were not leaving with Lori to go to the hospital. This is a load and go. This is where we grab and go. She knew then that Lori had died. Her only child and her whole world had been brutally murdered, and told her who did it. In the safety of her own home. Hazel was fucking outraged. They did everything. They went to the police. They did what they were supposed to do, and she was murdered where she was supposed to be safe. She immediately told the police on scene of Lori's dying declaration, along with the last 6 months of bullshit. Police were able to confirm the girl's prior history, so they knew exactly who they were looking for. The hunt was on. After searching all day, the police found Michelle and Butch, along with Tabitha, at 10 o'clock that same night. Who are you texting?
Jax.
Oh. What does he want?
Nah, it's... I'll tell you after.
I got a new picture of Potato yesterday.
Oh.
He's fucking giant.
Yeah, he is.
That little shithead.
Yeah, he grew.
The best story. Like, puppies are toddlers and people don't realize that.
Yeah.
And Josh is like, I just thought he was like really thirsty. And then I was watching him like drink water and pee at the same time. I said, Josh, they're babies.
Yeah.
Like, you give a kid a cake, he's going to eat the cake, throw up, and keep eating the cake. And he's like, yeah, I know that now. So they were found at Garden Spot Bowling Center in Strasburg, Pennsylvania. Now, police initially weren't looking for Tabitha. They didn't even know who she was when they found her with Butch and Michelle. But then they saw a giant scratch across her cheek that appeared to be a defensive wound and decided to bring her in with the other two. They were all interviewed separately, but they all gave the exact same story.
Yeah.
This is the collective story of the three of them. Butch and Michelle picked Tabitha up at 6:20 for school. Butch took the girls to Kmart, dropped them off, and went to McDonald's. He picked them up from Kmart, and after they left, Michelle realized she left her purse. On the way back to Kmart, Butch thought his car was driving funny, like it had a loose tire. So he pulled into a different McDonald's parking lot. How many, like, I get there's McDonald's everywhere, but...
How fucking many
How far did you get before you were like, I should check my tire before it falls off?
Right.
You know? So they pulled into a different McDonald's, and while checking in the car... The key broke off in the door.
Oh, my God, dude.
Really?
My dude.
Then two Puerto Rican girls.
Hey.
Of course. They gotta be brown. Appear out of nowhere and started talking to Butch. Believe me, Puerto Rican girls would not be attracted to you, sir. No. Michelle got out of the car and started talking shit to the girls for talking to Butch. The girls started calling Michelle and Tabitha sluts and whores. One of the girls then hit Michelle. And Tabitha said, knock it off, she's pregnant, and the other girl hit her in the face with the keys. That's where Tabitha got the scratch.
Mm.
So, exact same story with one exception. Tabitha said the girls were Puerto Rican, Butch said the girls were Mexican, and Michelle said the girls were Latina.
Okay.
Just be racist as fuck and say brown, guys. Right. They were brown. It was two brown girls. We don't know.
Yeah. Right?
Why narrow it down? They were brown.
Right.
So police knew that their stories were bullshit and made up just to explain why Tabitha was an hour late to school that morning. They knew that the three of them did it. They just needed to get the truth out of them. Tabitha was the only smart one. She didn't say shit.
Yeah.
And being 17, they had no choice but to release her into her mother's care. Michelle and Butch were both over 18, obviously, so police were like, we can keep you fucks here all night.
Yeah.
And they did. And eventually... Michelle started to cave, little by little.
Oh.
You know, the, well, we weren't there, and I saw them, and, you know, I was there for a minute.
Right.
And, yeah.
And then what happened was...
I stabbed him.
Right.
Right. So, it all started after police told Michelle that Lori had died. Michelle tried to act super surprised until the police were like, we're pretty sure you're the reason she's dead.
Yeah.
And you killed her. And that's when she went, well... I knew she was dead.
What had happened was... Right,
I knew she was dead because Tabitha killed her.
Yeah.
That was the first statement. She started by saying she wasn't even in the building. She was outside. And then it was, she was in the hallway. She never entered the condo. And the police just sat there, just staring at her.
Right.
Because she kept talking.
Right.
Because that's what happens when you're lying.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the police stare at you. They don't have to say shit. They don't even have to look at you and go, and then?
Right.
And then... You just keep fucking talking.
You keep talking.
Because their no response is
word
making...
Word vomit.
Right. Them not responding is making you think they don't believe you.
Yeah.
Because they don't believe you.
Right.
So you're trying to make up more shit for them to believe you.
Right.
It's not working. No. So they just sat there. Like, let her keep talking.
Yeah.
So now it turns into she was in the condo and she tried to save Lori's life.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle finally decides to stick with this story that her and Tabitha went to the condo to scare Lori. Scare her.
Yeah.
Okay. They didn't get along, obviously, and Michelle and Tabitha didn't like Lori and wanted to prank her. They wanted to humiliate her, so they were going to, quote, cut her hair or something.
Oh, Jesus.
What? What?
Yeah.
You can shave my fucking head.
Right.
What?
Right.
Now I'd be mad because I pay a lot for hair.
Yeah, right.
I'm not like, I know. Now I'd be like, bitch, touch my hair and see what happens.
Yeah,
I will stab you in the fucking throat. Because Christina will stab you in the fucking
right.
throat. Yeah. So the police asked Michelle if that really sounded like a good idea, given that the shows had filed a police report against all of them. And Michelle was like, well, yeah, we weren't going to do anything. We were just going to prank her. So it was a great idea. What? What?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
She said, but then Tabitha went crazy and killed her. Tabitha doesn't have a fucking dog in this race, dude.
No, no.
So it would later come out, excuse me, at a hearing for one of Michelle's appeals that she started to devise this plan back in July.
Ooh.
She had, quote, and this is from the trial testimony, devised a plan to enlist the help of several other teenagers to humiliate Sho by luring her out of the home, cutting off all her hair, and tying her to a pole within the city of Lancaster.
Jesus, what a
Who
bitch.
Who thinks like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to tie you to a
Fuck
pole?
Fuck you.
Like, what? They have to get more creative.
Yeah.
I feel like. You know, people will see you tying her to a pole.
Right.
That's how you get caught, when people see you.
Yeah.
You should probably not
Just a clue.
Do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quote, the plan did not come to fruition because one of the girls involved eventually warned Sho. Now, Michelle said she tried to save Lori, but, quote, what's done is done.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
She also then said she didn't say anything sooner because Tabitha is a killer and she's afraid of her.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Michelle immediately said Butch had nothing to do with any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Young love.
Yeah.
I'd be like, so this bitch.
Right.
She said he dropped him off but had no idea what they were planning, and then basically said that it was all Tabitha, not her, and definitely not Butch. See, that's the problem with young love.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to let this be a lesson. This is what happens when you stick your dick in crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
And then he's crazy, too. So, you know. Michelle would later allege that Butch was afraid he would go to jail for raping Lori, so he knew he did it. And he encouraged her and Tabitha to beat up Lori. He was abusive and controlling, so she had no choice but to do what he told her to do.
Yeah.
Police transcribed Michelle's final statement, had her review and sign it. That comes up later, too. Tabitha, this was part of the statement. Tabitha went alone to knock on the door because Hazel knew who Michelle was. She couldn't go knock on the door. Tabitha entered the condo, or excuse me, Michelle entered the condo after she heard Tabitha go in and the door closed behind her. She found Tabitha struggling with Laura, and Tabitha then attacked Lori with a knife. Michelle, quote, just stood there because she was, quote, so scared. Then she, quote, couldn't look anymore, and I turned away. Really?
Mm-hmm.
While this was all happening, the police start working hard on Butch now. Because yeah. Now they're like, well, your girl's over here.
Right.
Ratting you out here.
Right.
They tell him Michelle's talking and is absolutely implicating him. Butch is like, fuck no. He didn't do shit. He didn't go in at all. He said not only did he not know what the girls were up to, he wasn't worried about anything bad happening because he was under the impression that Hazel was home. Because yeah. She would have been home, and he's been in the condo. He would know that.
Right.
He repeatedly said this, so it's unknown if he actually knew about the phone call and the bullshit meeting.
Yeah.
It never comes out. Butch kind of keeps quiet, too, to a certain point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went on to say that it was clear when he picked Michelle and Tabitha up that something had happened. The girls and their clothing were covered in blood. He took them back to the trailer that he and Michelle shared so they could shower. Then he took the girls to a dumpster to get rid of their clothes. And then they all came up with their alibi. That included brown girls. Go figure.
Right.
He then took police to the dumpster.
Oh, wow.
Now, unfortunately, the dumpster had already been picked up. But fortunately, the police were able to retrieve the clothing from the landfill. So they found the girls' clothes.
Mm.
So now, in addition to the half-assed confessions, the police had physical evidence. At some point, too, it also came out that a powder compact, so like makeup, and a tube of blue mascara found in Tabitha's purse actually belonged to Lori that she had taken while fleeing the condo. So police now had enough for arrest warrants. Tabitha immediately lawyers up and refuses to cooperate with the police from here on out.
Yeah.
She refuses to talk to the police. She refuses to testify against anybody. She just keeps her mouth fucking shut.
Wow.
Only smart one.
Yeah.
All three are arraigned the day after the murder. Michelle and Tabitha are both charged with criminal homicide and criminal conspiracy. Now, I looked it up because in Pennsylvania, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So criminal homicide is a blanket term for all degrees of murder.
Oh, wow.
So you don't have to differentiate at the time of arrest
right. What
degree it was.
Right.
And criminal conspiracy.
I like that.
Yeah. Criminal conspiracy is an individual agrees with one or more people to commit, attempt, or solicit a crime with the intent to promote or facilitate and takes an overt act in furtherance of that agreement.
Pretty much the same elements as Illinois.
Okay. I didn't know you could criminal conspiracy was.
Yeah.
So Butch was actually charged with hindering apprehension or prosecution because he helped come up with.
Yeah.
Shortly after the arraignments, Lori's autopsy results are released. Lori had been beaten and stabbed. She had several bruises to her head from blunt force trauma. She had 2 stab wounds to the head. She also had 3 stab wounds to the back. 1 had grazed the spine and 1 had punctured her right lung. She had 2 lacerations to her legs, one of which was to the thigh, so deep it penetrated to the pelvis.
Mm.
She had 21 cuts to her hands that were defensive wounds, obviously.
Yeah.
The fatal wound, though, was a 5-inch gash to her throat.
Oh, my God.
That is literally beyond ear to ear.
Yeah.
I measured it.
Oh,
it's beyond ear to ear.
Jesus.
This was described as a slashing cut, quote, made by several strokes of a butcher knife as if slicing a turkey.
Oh, my God, dude.
That's how it was described.
Fuck.
The ME stated that Lori lived, quote, perhaps 30 minutes after the attack. So that's how soon Hazel got there after the attack, that Lori was still alive for a few minutes. On December 23rd, a news story is published that says that nobody in the town is surprised by who was arrested or the charges.
Right.
They all saw it coming. on December 24th, Lori's funeral was held, and police also publicly state that this was not a satanic panic murder, because that was a huge thing at that time.
Oh, yeah. Panic. You remember that.
But it was romantic jealousy. Mm-hmm. That was the reason for the crime. On February 6th, so they don't have, like, grand juries there. They have a grand jury type thing.
Yeah.
So Hazel ended up testifying at this grand jury type thing to Lori's dying declaration that Michelle did it. All 3 are ordered to then stand trial. On March 4th, the prosecutors from Lancaster County announced that they are seeking the death penalty against Tabitha and Michelle.
Good deal.
Now, Tabitha was a minor. They don't
care. Wow.
Both Tabitha and Michelle at this point recant their initial statements. Mm. Tabitha does not give another one. She just recants it. She pleads not guilty. That's it.
Wow.
Both girls plead not guilty to all charges.
Damn.
Michelle again alleges that controlling Butch encouraged her to harass and stalk Lori. Now, Butch ended up being charged as an accessory and for hindering apprehension and helping to dispose of evidence. He takes a plea deal. In exchange for 1 year in prison, Butch agrees to testify against Michelle and Tabitha, that he dropped them off at McDonald's, and the girls slit Lori's throat after panicking when a stab wound while they were wrestling punctured Lori's lung. Mm. They said that they were wrestling with her and there was a stab, and Michelle heard a which that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
When I needle decompress, that's what you're looking for when you hit the needle and it goes, pff, you know, and then the person
all
goes,
the air.
You know, so Tabitha's attorneys try to get her tried as a juvenile. She was 17 at the time. She had no previous criminal record. They said she would be receptive to the proper treatment needed, and she could be released by her 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
This is all, it's July 9th. It's the same day that Michelle's trial starts. Now, Michelle opted out of a jury trial.
Wow.
Which is very weird for a murder trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
The trial would be heard by Lancaster County Judge Lawrence Stengel. Now, I feel like this comes back to bite her in the ass later, and you'll see why. So, Michelle gave several versions of the events, but always stated that Tabitha was the one who stabbed Lori, and she only watched. The prosecution entered blood-soaked sweatpants that Michelle allegedly was wearing the day of the murder. Those come back later, too. Butch testified against Michelle. He gave the same story. He took the girls home to shower. The only difference is now is that this is when he talks about Tabitha stabbing her after the lung thing that she hears it. And that they dropped Tabitha off at school and then him and Michelle get rid of the clothes. The defense immediately comes at Butch about the clothes because they were Butch's.
Yeah. Oh.
They were Butch's sweatpants and sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Now, Butch said Michelle had taken to wearing his clothes because she was about 7 months pregnant at the time and hers didn't fit.
Yeah.
So, that comes back. Hazel testified about Lori's dying declaration. My pages are stuck together.
Of course.
I know. The prosecution presented well-documented proof of Michelle's harassment and assault and say that, you know, witnesses heard this. They also said that there was a neighbor who saw two, quote, slight women running from the scene. Obviously, Tabitha and Michelle were small.
Yeah.
Tabitha, again, refused to testify. She just would not. The defense says that she had nothing to do with it. Butch was the mastermind behind it all. He wanted Lori gone before rape charges could be filed. They said that she changed her story because she felt betrayed by Butch after he took a deal and he was going to testify against her. They also pointed out, which they are not wrong, there is no physical evidence against her.
Yeah.
She does not have a single defensive wound, and the clothes that were found were not hers. So, yep. They also pulled an expert who said that at the crime scene, there was evidence that the initials TB were written by Lori in her blood. I couldn't find any pictures of it because I was curious because there was another murder that got solved that way.
Huh, interesting.
They also presented letters between Butch and Michelle while they were in jail. Butch was talking about how he and Tabitha did it. And he wanted Michelle to take the rap and lie because she was a young pregnant girl and she would get away with it versus him being a 20-year-old boy, he would fry. These letters were strongly questioned. They appeared to be strangely written and edited. They weren't. Michelle said her initial statement was made purely to protect Butch and that he had convinced her to take the blame for everything for that reason.
Because,
you know, she would get away with it.
Yeah.
On July 20th, Judge Stengel finds Michelle guilty of first-degree murder and criminal conspiracy. He took her lack of actual criminal record and recent childbirth because she had given birth to a baby in March. She had a baby girl.
Baby girl.
Who was with her parents. And he, instead of doing death sentence, he's... sentence her to life without parole. Life without the possibility of parole.
Good. That's still good.
So after this, Tabitha's attorneys actually withdrew the request to have her tried as a juvenile in exchange for taking the death penalty off the table. So she was tried as an adult.
Yeah.
They put in for a change of venue. They got it, obviously, because public
emotions
and intense media coverage. On September 22nd, Tabitha's trial starts. She said she watched Michelle stab Lori and all she did was sit on Lori's legs so she couldn't leave. Prosecution used the same exact story as Michelle's trial. And they said that she knew, obviously, Michelle was going to do something because they went in wearing gloves. So she, they also questioned why she didn't immediately turn in Butch and Michelle when she got to school. And said, quote, if Tabitha Buck had decided to make different choices, Lori Show could still be alive. Mm. Butch gave the same testimony. Tabitha's defense was flat out that she didn't do it.
Yeah.
She didn't have the motive. She didn't do it. Now, during closing, Tabitha's attorney held up her starter pullover coat. You remember those?
Oh, yeah. I had a Seattle Seahawks or Supersonics.
I had North Carolina Tar Heels. that he held it up to show that there was no blood on it. Now, I couldn't find the outcome of this. I don't know if it like came out at trial, but he was unaware that in the front pocket of that coat was the piece of the knife that broke off during the homicide.
No shit.
Yeah. I hope it, like, what if it fell out and hit the floor?
Oh, my
like,
God.
I'm done. I'm just going to sit down.
Yeah.
So after 8 days of trial and 3 hours of deliberation, the jury found Tabitha guilty of second-degree murder, and she was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. Mm. That's a mandatory sentence in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So after the verdict and the sentence was announced, Hazel leaned forward to comfort Tabitha's crying mother and said, quote, I'm sorry either of our daughters met Michelle Lambert.
Yeah.
Now, at some point after Michelle's trial, Butch is questioned about the letters that were presented at Michelle's trial. One of them, basically, he indicates himself in it, you know?
Yeah.
So he said he didn't write them, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So the prosecution, trying to prove that Michelle doctored them, hired an FBI handwriting analyst.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fucked up. Because it turns out that they were fucking altered.
Oh.
By Butch.
Yikes.
Not by Michelle.
Yikes.
Butch had written them, and everything that Butch wrote was correct.
Yeah.
He did admit to the murder.
Oh.
Now, that attorney, that prosecutor,
yeah,
never went to any of the courts involved and said, hey, my star witness that convicted her,
yeah,
lied.
Oh, no shit.
Did nothing.
No yeah. way.
So his plea deal ends up getting revoked.
Yeah.
And he gets sentenced to 10 to 30 years for third degree murder.
Wow.
Yeah. So he goes to jail. He goes up for parole twice. He's eventually granted parole in 03. Mm. And in 04, he's released to a halfway house in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
He was a model prisoner, participated in vocational and rehabilitation programs.
Oh, they all are.
Yeah.
Jesus.
His daughter was 11 when he was released, and he said that he had no intention of pursuing custody or disrupting her life.
Yeah.
Thank God, you piece of shit.
Right. Fuck you.
Yeah. Tabitha was sent to Muncie State Correctional Institution, which is a women's prison in Pennsylvania. She kept her head down, was on her best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. She was described as having the, quote, complete respect of the prison staff.
Wow.
She got her GED, tutored other inmates trying to get their GEDs.
Yeah.
Now, in 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court deemed life sentences against juveniles unconstitutional and cruel and unusual punishment.
That's right. Yeah.
Tabitha was among 12 Pennsylvania inmates that would be granted a resentencing hearing.
Wow.
Which would now make her eligible for parole.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
On November 22nd of 2017, Tabitha was resentenced in Lancaster County to 28 years.
Mm.
She had already served 26.
Oh, wow.
So she would now be eligible for parole in less than 2 years. In August of 2019, Tabitha is granted parole with the earliest release date of being December 21st. And on Christmas Eve 2019, Tabitha was released from prison.
Oh, fuck.
Now, Michelle... She didn't stop.
Yeah.
So all of her initial appeals are rejected. She then accused a prison guard of raping her from May of 1993 to October of 1994.
Mm-hmm.
She said when it was reported, there was no investigation, and instead she was sent to solitary confinement as punishment.
Wow.
Now here's the twist, because I heard that, mm-hmm, the guard was eventually arrested, tried, and convicted.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah.
No shit.
To protect her from other guards wanting revenge, she was moved to a New Jersey prison to get her out of the state.
Wow.
They wanted her nowhere in the state.
Yeah.
She then would turn around and accuse another Pennsylvania guard of videotaping her during a strip search and assault.
Yeah.
That I'm not sure of. Pennsylvania eventually, while they were trying to figure out, if there was enough evidence to do anything with it, they just settled out of court with her for $35,000.
Right.
So, which went to her daughter.
Right.
Thank God. Now in 1996, while she was in the New Jersey prison, Michelle sent a handwritten petition of appeal to a federal court in Pennsylvania. It's very rare to get a hearing with this kind of petition, but U.S. District Judge Stuart Dalzell, I think, felt the case deserved further review. So he said, all right.
Wow. Okay.
He appointed the firm of Schnatter, Harrison, and Siegel.
Schnatter.
Harrison
Schneider?
Siegel and Lewis. No, it's not Schneider. I know how to spell Schneider. to take the case, and a woman by the name of Christina Rainville would be litigator. Dude, she came fucking hard.
Yeah.
She recast Michelle as a battered and manipulated woman and defined the police and prosecutors as incompetent and biased.
Wow.
She was not fucking around.
No, not at all.
So, in April of 97, Michelle appeared in court for a federal habeas corpus hearing. And I looked it up because I always forget what it is. It's just a legal procedure to review unlawful detention or imprisonment.
Right.
Now, Rainville and Michelle's other attorneys started by pointing out the inconsistencies with evidence and testimony in Michelle's previous trial. Are you ready for this bullshit?
Yeah.
Because when I got to this part, I was like, what the fuck?
Okay. Hit me with it.
All right. So the sweatpants that were presented at trial were Butch's. The defense presented another set of smaller clothing they said Michelle was actually wearing the day of the murder, which had also been collected.
Hmm.
So what was she wearing?
Yeah.
There was no blood or evidence of the crime on those clothes. So basically, they took the clothes that she was wearing when they questioned her that she said she was still wearing.
Yeah.
And they said that the clothes from the landfill she was wearing.
What the fuck?
Yep. The prosecutor, Prosecutor Kenneth admitted to not knowing for sure who was actually wearing the sweatpants, but said, quote, it was my understanding that Miss Lambert had admitted to wearing the clothing.
Yeah.
Then there's the letter. The judge says that it's clear by Butch's answers that he is guilty of the crime. The judge then accused the prosecutor of knowing that Butch lied about the letter, but let him testify that he had nothing to do with it anyways. It comes out that that FBI handwriting expert told him prior to Butch's testimony in Michelle's trial that Butch had in fact written that letter and Michelle did not alter it. And the prosecutor let him testify to it anyways.
Yikes. Yeah. Bad move. Bad move.
Michelle at some point told the police about a pink bag containing Butch's bloodied shoes.
Yeah.
And the officers initially claimed that they found no bag.
Wow.
The detective said at retrial that he, quote, completely forgot about finding the pink bag. Raintree finds a video of the river search. That was altered by four minutes. There was 4 minutes missing from it.
Oh, my God.
So she shows the video of an officer kicking the bag and then waving off the camera. And she says, is this you? And he's like, no. She zooms in. She's like, still not you?
You're right.
And he's like,
what had happened was.
Not at all. She zoomed all the way in on his face while he was waving off the camera and went, still not you? And he went, well, I mean, it might have been.
Oh, dude, man.
What the fuck?
Oh, dude, you lose your credibility.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Here's the best one. Well, so, okay. Butch's interview tape was altered.
Yeah.
They tried to take out all the laughing part of it where they were fucking around with him.
Right, right.
And at one point, the detective was like, I wasn't even in the room when that happened. He introduces himself on the tape.
Dude, you're killing me.
Yeah. All right, you ready for
this
one?
Stupid cops. I hate.
Oh, this is the icing on the cake here. Michelle claimed to have been gang raped by three Lancaster police officers 6 months prior to the murder.
Whoa.
Now, she was stalked by an officer. She called the chief to complain and said this is what happened, and she was getting threatening calls after the attack. She never raised a public complaint of the rape, though. She never told the chief, I was raped, blah, blah, blah. She just said, he's stalking me and he's calling me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a deposition after Michelle's arrest, Officer Robin Weaver refers to the gang rape without being asked. He thought that it was in her habeas corpus petition. It was not.
Yikes.
So Michelle turns around and says, how the fuck would he know that if he didn't do it?
Exactly.
I didn't tell anybody about this.
Oh, my God.
So she said that that's independent proof of her claim.
Yeah.
After the judge demanded that Weaver come to court, he learns that the prosecutor had spoken to Weaver and tipped him off. It turns out that Weaver was one of the first responding officers to Lori's murder.
Wow.
He had questioned Hazel. He wrote the initial police report and the official report written 3 weeks later. Nowhere in either report did he indicate that Hazel heard Lori make a dying declaration. The judge got him to admit, basically, what were we taught? The first thing we were taught in school, if you didn't write it down,
it didn't happen.
Fucking happen.
Right.
Judge gets him to admit it and says it's awfully convenient that she's saying you raped her and you're the first person there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The state also lost an earring that belonged to Butch that was found on Lori's body.
Of course, missing evidence. That's great.
Now, Michelle's statement, there was a typed page of the statement where she said she wore her own clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an added handwritten last page addendum where she said she was wearing Butch's. It's unknown if that's her handwriting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys fucked her.
Yep.
But it doesn't help. She keeps getting fucked anyways. Now, the autopsy report stated that the carotid arteries were, quote, not involved. This was done by two Lancaster County doctors. One was a part-time coroner and one was an ENT doctor.
Okay.
And said that she was able to speak.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
When I first heard that, when I read that, I was like, oh, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if you're cutting
that
from ear to ear, you're talking like esophagus, trachea, vocal.
Everything, cord. Yeah.
Yeah. So an expert witness, which was a Northwestern University speech professor by the name of Charles Larson, testified. He, along with three paramedics and a Philadelphia medical examiner, believed that Lori's left carotid artery had been severed when her throat was slashed. Her vocal tract was, quote, destroyed. And because of it, because of all of the other injuries, her left brain hemisphere was, quote, dying, and she would have been, quote, totally incapable of speech.
Mm-hmm.
When asked how the other doctors could say that that she was able to speak, Larson said, quote, I don't think they were telling the truth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
They got a domestic violence expert to say that Michelle had battered women syndrome. But they also came out with just the ridiculous amount of evidence kept from Michelle's attorney.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God, why am I drawing a blank? Oh my God. Why can't I think of it?
What?
Brady.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Brady violation.
Yeah.
Huge yeah. Brady violations. So here's the other part. This is how we know how close Hazel was to the attack. On April 16th at 1:40 p.m., Hazel met with the judge, Michelle, and all of the attorneys. While listening to that morning's testimony, Hazel remembered trying to tell a detective that morning that she saw Butch driving away from the crime scene. The detective came to her house to tell her that the neighbor saw Butch. And when Hazel tried to corroborate that, the detective said the neighbor was disturbed, don't dwell on it, and didn't write it down anywhere. This was known and withheld from Michelle's attorneys. So the judge determined that at least 25 separate instances of prosecutorial misconduct, I love that word, were all constitutional violations.
Wow.
He demanded Michelle's immediate release that night.
Oh my God.
To her attorney.
Wow.
She was released to the care of her attorney.
Wow.
On April 21st, her conviction was overturned and she was innocent of all charges. He also demanded that Pennsylvania be barred from retrying her.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Virtually all the evidence that was used to convict Michelle had either been perjured, altered, or fabricated.
Wow.
Oh, it gets worse. January of 1998, a federal appeals panel overturned his ruling.
Oh, wow.
They said that Michelle had not yet exhausted her appeals in state court, and Michelle was immediately returned to prison.
Wow.
Michelle had an appeal for the hearing on the second overturning, and it was denied. In February of 98, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court returned the case to Lancaster County Court. 3 months later, federal appeals court agreed to temporarily free Michelle. The attorney general blocked it.
Wow. What?
The federal appeals court said, again, release her.
Yeah.
Because we think she's going to be found not guilty upon retrial.
Yeah.
Release her. The attorney general went, huh, no.
Wow.
She stayed in prison.
Unreal.
Judge Stengel would oversee the retrial proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to let anything from the federal hearing in. Anything from the federal hearing. So
yeah.
All of the prosecutorial misconduct, everything, could not be heard.
Wow.
And he placed a gag order on all involved.
No shit.
In August of 1998, he upheld his original guilty verdict, stating even if she did not commit the actual murder, she was still just as guilty as an accomplice. Later, a federal court held up the ruling. Michelle then attempted to bring the case to the U.S. Supreme Court twice and was denied both times. And by 2005, she had exhausted all of her appeals.
Damn.
She is still in prison.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, this was a good one.
Yeah, that took a fucking turn.
Yeah, that, man, that's crazy.
I still don't, I mean, I think obviously, like, nobody knows who did it.
Right.
You know, and after
Tabitha's trial. She was involved, though.
Yeah, after Tabitha's trial, everybody was like, we don't know who did the actual stabbing, but we know they were involved.
Oh, she was definitely involved.
I think the only one, Butch got out of it, I think, the most.
Yeah.
But, like, they had the bag of his bloody shoes. Why were his shoes bloody?
Right.
She didn't wear his fucking shoes.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess Michelle even said during questioning that when they were driving away from the scene, Butch said, oh, shit, there's Hazel. And he pushed Michelle's head down.
Oh, wow.
So Hazel did see him driving away. So he picked them up from the fucking scene.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, this was a good one. Thank you very much, Jamie.
Yeah, that one was fucked up.
Yeah, you did some good digging on that one. So, wow. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, next episode is going to be a Patreon.
I'm
so
sweating down my back.
I'm too. My back is so stiff right now.
I've taken my sweatshirt on and off 3 times.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
I'm just stiff as fuck right now. The weather is not doing good on my body.
But my St. Patrick's Day shit, right?
Yeah, I like it. But thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this one like we did. And we will be talking to you soon.
It better be Tuesday, fucker.
Oh, it will be.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
It will be. Patreon, people. Patreon.
Should we give him a hit? I'm going to be doing Ted Binion.
Yep.
That's a fucked up one, too.
Oh, yeah. Look it up if you...
Guy, he's like the oldest person ever that had like the longest heroin addiction I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah.
Like survivable heroin addiction for 20 plus years.
Oh, my God.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
So sign up if you haven't. But thank you guys for listening, and we will be talking to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.